and our lives, and helping other people live a more enriched and happy life as well. You know, I was just thinking about all the many ways we can be of service over here, and I've always been impressed with the number of people that are actually in service here on Vashon. And one of the agencies that really stands out, and I'm very proud to be actually a part of Vashon Youth and Family Services. They provide a lot of services for people in the community here that range from child care to counseling to substance use disorder help. And in fact, what they're doing right now is Vashon Youth and Family Services are having their yearly community needs assessment survey. And this is where the people and the board of directors at Vashon Youth and Family Services want to hear from you, the public, on how the agency of VYFS can better serve the community here. What are the community's needs? And they really want to know what matters to you and what we can do better to serve the Vashon community. So they have a survey going on right now, and there's a couple of ways you can access the survey without even having to fill out anything on any paper. You just go to the VYFS, Vashon Youth and Family Services website. That's just VYFS.org. Okay, VYFS.org. Go there, and when you get to the main page, you'll see the survey is already there. And it doesn't matter if you don't speak English. There's a Spanish version as well. And just click on that, and there's a lot of interesting questions and a lot of places for you to fill in the blank. And also keep in mind that the whole survey is totally anonymous. So you can fill in whatever you want. It cannot be traced back to you, but we want to get a general consensus of what the community would like and what we can do better at VYFS and other changes that might come about. So that's one way you can be of service. And if you're uptown, you can stop by the broadcast studio here of Voice of Vashon, and there will be a flyer in the window with the QR codes, one for Spanish and one for English. Then you can just point your phone at the QR code, and that'll take you right to the survey so you can fill it out at your leisure. So once again, we would appreciate that if you would give us your feedback and let us know exactly what we need to do to better serve you, because that's really the reason we're there. And the board of directors and the administration really takes into account what your needs are, because that's how we've survived over 20 years, I believe. I've only been involved with a little over 5 years, and I can honestly say I work with some of the most dedicated people that have a passion for helping other people here. And, you know, I see a lot of smiling faces leave the agency when they're done with their sessions over there. So what other ways can you be of service on the island? I see opportunities such as people volunteering at, for instance, Granny's. That's a great organization here where you can not only pick up some secondhand items, and I will admit I've got a couple of really some of my favorite shirts from Granny's, and it's different stuff every week. So stop in there, and the dollars that you spend there, keep in mind, it has such a ripple effect on the community, because just because of Granny's, a lot of other agencies on the island are supported. And you might be amazed at how many thousands and thousands of dollars go back out from Granny's to other organizations to help people on the island here. So it always impresses me the work that you folks are doing here for each other. We look out for each other here on this wonderful healing vortex that I call Vashon. You know, I'm just thinking of another way that people are of service here on the island, and many of you have probably used the services that are provided by the Vashon Food Bank. And I'll tell you what, I am lucky enough this week to have my guest here, Emily Scott, the executive director at the Vashon Food Bank. Welcome, Emily.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'll tell you, it is such a pleasure to have you here. And I've got a lot of questions for you. You know, I see a food bank in a lot of different communities, but I don't see many as popular that serves as big of a, even though what, we have only 11,000 people on the island, mm-hmm. but can you fill us in a little bit more about kind of your services when you're open, and we'll talk about what a person needs to do to qualify to get there.
Absolutely. Happy to talk about the food bank all the time. In fact, it's one of the main things I talk about these days. We focus a lot on offering a wide variety of foods and different ways for people to receive food, knowing that everybody's needs are slightly different. So we want to make sure people have access to a dignified service and in lots of different ways to meet their needs. Primarily, we offer free groceries to anyone in need. So you mentioned the how to qualify. The answer to that is that if you feel like you could benefit from help with your, you know, weekly, monthly grocery bills, then you qualify for the Vashon Food Bank. We don't ask about income information or employment. We do collect some demographic information, but that's really, I mean, you know, like some probably similar to VYFS, who's one of our favorite partner organizations to collaborate with, by the way.
Good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. We collect some information just to aggregate and use for like grant reporting or just to kind of tell the story about our services. Speaking of our services, we serve over 300 households per week these days on average.
Every week.
Yeah. Which is higher than our peak services during the pandemic. So I was just talking with Joe Wibaldi before we started on the air here about how, you know, although on paper and on the news, folks are talking about how inflation is, you know, lower than it was this time last year, but that doesn't mean that people are feeling really flush or that people are not, you know, still feeling the pinch, especially on an island like Vashon with a pretty significant housing crisis and, you know, transportation reliant on a ferry system that's having some trouble, I've heard.
Well, and just getting groceries over to the island, fortunately, the stores here have to mark up to compensate for the extra transportation costs for the food.
Yep. It's a premium. So we find, so that 300 households per week amounts to somewhere between 1700 and 1800 individuals on over the course of a year, which is over 15% of the island's overall population. Of course, again, we don't collect, you know, a ton of information from people, but I can guarantee you that lots of folks who use the food bank really make up kind of the cultural thread of the island. You know, lots of people are attracted to Vashon because of the arts and because of, you know, restaurants and, you know, just the local kind of creative scene. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks who are multi-generational islanders and really add a lot of value to this place are struggling to survive out here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, another thing that comes to mind, and that is that people that move here from other locations might be a little bit shocked at the sticker prices of a lot of the things. And, you know, part of, I oftentimes like to talk about other forms of recovery, like substance abuse and things like that, because that's kind of my story and my history. But there's also a stigma, I think, that people may have about using a food bank. Mm-hmm. And according to what you just said, there's really no reason for that because you don't keep any demographic of any type of person or a income level or this and that. Anybody that can benefit from putting something else on their shelves to feed themselves or their kids are welcome.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I talk often about how, you know, in so many different contexts, being resourceful is seen as a value, like it's seen as a good thing, you know, that you should be prideful about. And for some really unfortunate reason, because of, you know, the image of food banks throughout the course of history, being resourceful by using a food bank is seen as a bad thing, which doesn't make any sense to me because it's a it's a resource to the whole community. So, you know, if you feel like your discretionary income could be stretched a little further to do things that make you feel like a whole person, then certainly come up and use the food bank in order to, you know, spend your dollars on living your life, whether that means paying your rent or, you know, going on a vacation with your family. you know, on a yearly basis. So that I don't think I touched on that 300 households per week we split between almost evenly between in-person pickup on Wednesdays. We're open from 10 to 2 and 4 to 7 in the evening. Try to spread out throughout the day for, you know, to accommodate people's work schedules. And then we also do about 140 or so, I believe, home deliveries every week.
Wow.
So our home delivery program, as you can imagine, really ramped up during the pandemic when folks were quarantined. But we have found since then that people benefit from getting their groceries delivered for a lot of different reasons, whether it be that unfortunate stigma you were talking about, or just like transportation barriers or, you know, people's work schedules. If you just can't make it up to the food bank to shop in person, then we'll do a home delivery.
And how does, couple of questions here. What day do you do deliveries?
We do deliveries on Thursdays and Fridays now.
Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
And how do you determine what households need what? If I'm not mistaken, because I know you guys have a great website.
Yeah.
And the website is?
www.vachonfoodbank.org.
Easy to remember.
Pretty straightforward.
Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't I see a checklist?
Yes.
It's almost a shopping list have.
Yeah. So we offer, I mentioned earlier that we try to offer a wide variety of food, and we really lean into the customer choice model. So we're not interested in, you know, telling people what they need for themselves and their families. That's kind of one of our organizational kind of like codified values, is that each individual is best positioned to decide what, you know, what kind of food they need for themselves and their families. So our amazing staff on a weekly basis, our warehouse folks, put together an inventory of like all the food we've got available. On occasion, some of it will get split between pickup and home delivery if we don't have enough to cover like all services. But whatever is identified for home deliveries gets posted, turned into a menu, we call it.
Nice.
Or, you know, an order form. Mm-hmm. I get, you know, it varies. But
kind of a checklist, chopping list.
Yeah. So that gets posted on our website. Also, if you call in the office and sign up for home delivery, you'll end up talking to my coworker, Kasana, who's our home delivery coordinator. She'll get your address and your information, and then you'll be emailed that a fillable PDF menu also.
Wow.
And then people send it back in. We've got a, you know, a small army of volunteers who answer phone calls. So you can turn in your home delivery order by calling the office, sending in a fillable PDF, or you could even swing by and get a hard copy and fill it out in person if you wanted to.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a pretty, you know, really that whole system was born during the pandemic, and we've found that it is both manageable and serves people well outside of the pandemic.
Well, do you ever know what you're going to be getting ahead of time, and where does the food come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. We try to provide as much reliability as possible, and therefore do a lot more purchasing these days than we have in the past.
So you don't just, all the food is not just donated.
No,
you actually purchase.
Yeah, we do. So we have wholesale relationships with a few different companies, so we can, you know, donated dollars get turned into like bulk purchases that can stretch farther if, you know, folks just go to the store and buy food to give to us. That said, the majority of our food right now comes from Food Lifeline. We also are still getting some food from an organization called Northwest Harvest, though those are both kind of statewide. However, Northwest Harvest did some restructuring last year, and we were informed that by the end of this year, which it turns out is in right around the corner, which is really wild, we'll be cut out of the Northwest Harvest partner network.
What?
So, yeah, it was kind of a restructuring where they're focusing more on, you know, densely populated, underserved populations. Basically, Vachon doesn't fit the demographic of where they want to serve, which is, you know, really unfortunate because we are in kind of a unique position and with our geographic isolation.
Well, we're considered to, I mean, I was surprised to find out even that it was King County.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are considered rural and remote.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's unfortunate that we don't fit into their criteria.
Yeah, it really is. And we've gotten food from them for well over a decade, maybe even two decades. And, you know, on average, over the course of the time we've gotten food from them, it amounts to about 10% of our inventory. So we're going to have to make up for that in order to continue to serve folks with the volume that we do now.
Now, did that basically consist mostly of produce?
It's a lot of produce and some non-perishable stuff like, you know, pasta, beans,
flour,
packaged.
Sugar.
Yeah. Actually, we don't get a lot of flour and sugar, interestingly. Sometimes through Food Lifeline, they've got a different kind of ordering system where we select the items that we want from them on a weekly basis. It's not quite as easy as just going shopping, because you're in kind of in competition with all the other food banks who are also getting stuff from them.
Makes sense, yeah.
It's a little bit of a grab bag situation, but, we do, like I mentioned, bulk purchases throughout the year to try to maintain reliable access to stuff like, frozen meats, you know, canned tuna, like really staple items that we want to make sure we have on hand most of the time, if not all the time.
Coffee?
We do get coffee, in fact. Yeah, we had a wonderful volunteer named Sarah who worked for Starbucks for years. Shout out to Sarah if she's listening. That would be funny. And she hooked us up with their donation program. So on, I think it's every other week, we send a volunteer to their down in Soto, their big like factory down there, and they pick up, you know, hundreds of pounds of coffee that we repackage.
My goodness.
I know, it's pretty fancy. We also get really lovely bread and pastries from Macarena Bakery out in Kent, I think. So we've got a pretty high quality, you know, it's not kind of the traditional, like, big government block of cheese food bank, like you imagine of days gone by, you know?
Oh, yeah, I remember the days of the government cheese, and it was a couple other things.
Giant cans of chili. We get that stuff on occasion, but we also... We do weekly produce purchases, mostly from Charlie's Produce. Mm-hmm. In the summer, we have a gleaning program that gets funded through the Washington State Department of Agriculture, where we can hire a gleaning coordinator who works with local farms and gardeners to collect like excess produce and then distribute it through the food bank. So there's always a wide variety of produce. Because we find that, you know, that's a really value-added product that pretty much everybody wants. So.
Well, and you know, it seems like the majority of the population, at least the people I see in Vashon, are pretty health conscious people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure like every other nonprofit on the island, we're working on getting our end of year appeal mailing out. So, you know, everybody will have a letter from the food bank in their mailbox in the next few weeks. And we've got a few quotes on the backside and like a photo montage, but we got a bunch of customer feedback recently, really reiterating and emphasizing that, by way of using the food bank, they were able to improve their diets and like see positive health outcomes because it's free. So there's like, you know, there's data that shows that increased food security reduces like stress and, you know, the correlated, physical like negative outcomes related to stress, but also because we offer lentils and produce and milk and eggs, people were actually able to like improve their overall condition. Which,
well, and let's face it, junk food is usually pretty cheap. It's pretty affordable, and the good food, the nutritious food.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we look at it on the shelf and go, oh, I wish I could afford that. It would be nice to have a fresh salad every day or something, you know, fresh vegetables. And there's actually quite a bit of produce grown on island, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there is. We've got great relationships with a whole handful of local farms, including Matsuda, the farm owned by the Land Trust, and a handful of others. Like we get, this past summer, we got a bunch of really lovely deliveries of beautiful, like, what's it called? Butter leaf lettuce. Is that right? From Karen Biondo. And a whole host of other island farms. One that's really notable, we've got a lovely relationship with the Zen Center farm. It's on a woman's private property, but the Zen Center has this couple acres that's dedicated just to growing food for the food bank.
Really?
And as you can imagine, from like a Zen gardening operation, all the produce that comes from those guys is just like gorgeous.
And no doubt.
Yeah. A couple years ago, we're getting these cabbages that were like little orbs of, you know, like just like, I don't know, like they were from outer space. They were beautiful. So,
well, speaking of cabbage, I see more and more new recipes of ways to utilize cabbage.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's good for the gut.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to prepare it that I had no idea. I thought, okay, coleslaw. That's about it.
Yeah. Or like borscht. you know.
Borscht, there we go.
I'm a big fan.
Which I wouldn't mind either. So, okay, so this takes, it's got to be somewhat labor intensive just running the facility.
Yeah, yeah. It really is a lot, like a really physical endeavor. I these days, of course, with fundraising and our capital campaign to relocate to the property up here, uptown, right by the Methodist Church.
And we'll talk about that in
a
minute too.
Yeah, just a little foreshadowing. But so my job these days is majority just talking. But our wonderful warehouse staff and our home delivery crew, like you're mentioning, just unloading trucks and getting, you know, grocery bags into cars, it's a very labor-intensive process.
Not to mention the delivery aspect of
it. Yes, yeah. We do some home deliveries with our vehicles, but it's all volunteer delivery. Lots of folks use their own cars. So, speaking of volunteer opportunities, we're always looking for more home delivery drivers.
That was my next point, too.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. And folks to pack grocery bags on Thursdays and Fridays for home deliveries. So.
Well, there you go, folks. New ways that, in case you never thought of it, can be of service. And if you have a couple extra hours a week, it doesn't require, 20, 30 hours a week. It's like, can you give up a couple, hours here and there? And basically you ask what the needs are up at the food bank. Mm-hmm. They'll find a job for you probably.
We have a lot of different volunteer opportunities, and we've got a relatively new staff member named Talia, who is our volunteer program manager. So if anybody who's listening is interested, you can email volmanager@vashonfoodbank.org and she'll get right back to you with an application. We do, a little bit of screening for volunteers, like running background checks and stuff, but we've got tons of opportunities, whether it's, truck unloading, repackaging groceries. Over the summer, our Picnics in the Park program, that is a free summer meal program for youth. That's a really fun one. You can help, make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and hand them out to little kids in Ober Park or at the skate park in Burton. That's definitely our cutest program, I would say.
No doubt.
The cute factor is really high on that one. There's little kids who show up to Picnics in the Park sometimes, in superhero costumes as they do. One year, a little guy brought his grandma there for his birthday lunch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so of course we gave his grandma a lunch too because she was like, I thought we were going to a restaurant.
Well, and some people, in fact, on occasion dress up as a banana.
Oh, that's usually me, actually.
But that's why I brought it up.
We just had a really fun staff photo shoot last week of, we try with a bunch of new staff members, we try to, cultivate like a positive work environment over there. And those costumes go a long way for morale, I'll tell you.
Well, I poked my head in up at your offices when I was visiting our other broadcast studio up there. And you've got a really happy staff up there and a really good positive vibe in there.
Yeah, we try. We were just talking about the working in social services. It's really easy to kind of fall into like, things are hard mindset. But the community and the really goodwill, and the positive outlook that we see up there, both not just from staff, but from volunteers and customers, too. We've got on Wednesday mornings, there's this whole group of customers who show up like an hour and a half early just to drink coffee and mill around in the parking lot and, chat with their friends and neighbors. So it's a really special place, I'd say.
And something else I've found through people that work in social services, they also have a very high level of respect for themselves in practicing self-care.
Yeah.
And being of service for a lot of people is part of their self-care.
Yeah.
Because, the energy you put out, ironically, comes right back to you in other forms.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about this. I was just talking about this with someone recently. I think a lot of folks who volunteer at the food bank are exactly like you're mentioning. Like some people just have free time on their hands. Mm-hmm. Other folks are looking for a way to give back. Some people want a really social interaction, like a social environment. And then other folks just want to put their heads down and like pack grocery bags and not talk to anybody. So it's kind of cool that we can offer all those different opportunities.
Do you, by chance, this might be a little off the wall, but would the food bank be considered community service for people that might have a little bit of an infraction with the law?
Absolutely. Yeah, we help people work through their court-ordered community service. Like I mentioned, we do run background checks. So if somebody's trying to work off like a violent offense, we might do some screening there.
Right, you have to use some discretion.
Exactly. But by and large, we've hosted tons of people working off court-ordered service or high school students who have their required 25 hours, I think it is, to graduate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we have a lot of high school students who come up and help us unload trucks and, pack groceries and all that. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
Say, you mentioned a possible move coming up.
Yeah.
Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. And it's not just possible. It is happening. For several years now have been planning and are about halfway through our fundraising campaign to relocate to the property owned by the Vashon United Methodist Church uptown, really just right across the street from us right now, or a little bit south of us, not the Presbyterian Church, although they're very supportive and wonderful too. The idea is that we will build a new food bank, about 3,500 square feet, that'll, be just a dignified, clean new building, but nothing fancy. I always feel the kind of need to reiterate that, we're not, building the Taj Mahal of food banks. It's a pretty straightforward building, just up to King County code, which our current facilities are not. Speaking of volunteer labor, our current facilities are really, limit our ability to do business in a really efficient way. For example, we have to unload all of our trucks by hand, do all of our restocking by hand because we can't, really functionally use like a pallet jack or a forklift or, our 4-foot deep shelving. You can't access from both sides because the room's not big enough. Yeah. It's just like, there's a lot of, kind of standard inventory management stuff that we're
logistical
not able to do.
Things,
yeah, exactly. So the timeline for the move to the church property, the full vision over there has very much to do with other social service agencies like VYFS.
Yep, Family Place.
Whose Family Place, program already moved to that property. So really, we're not only planning on moving the food bank over there, but also becoming part of what we hope to be a really robust social service hub, where somebody could go find one of VYFS's, single parent cafes, and the grocery store happens to be open, and there's like childcare for your little kid to go do yoga on a Wednesday or,
Absolutely. And in fact, the Methodist Church there is where we host the health fair twice a year.
Yeah, exactly. So that property is already really functionally like a resource hub. Over the years, the MRC has hosted, that's the Medical Reserve Corps, has hosted vaccine clinics over there. There's the health fair. Right now, the DSHS, the King County's, I'm going to forget what that acronym stands for, but that's fine.
There's just called the van.
Yeah, the big van where you can
Miguel.
Go. Yeah, where you can go sign up for SNAP benefits, or they can help you sign up for Washington Apple Care. Just a whole host of benefits. They are there on a monthly basis, as are the folks from WIC, the state's Women, Infants, and Children program.
And the dental van oftentimes is there
on occasion. So the goal is really just by way of moving the food bank there to just be able to intensify that what already exists as a community resource hub. So,
well, Emily, I hate to say it, but we're running out of time, and it's been a joy having you up here. I just learned a lot more about about the food bank and about some of your future endeavors coming up. So, folks, you got some service opportunities right there if you have some free time. And once again, I want to remind everybody about the Vashon Youth and Family Services Community Needs Assessment Survey. So just pull up the website at vyfs.org. And you can start the survey on your own right there. We're looking for as many people as possible to put their input in so we can determine how best to serve you and your neighbors here on Vashon. Well, once again, it's been a joy. We have some more interesting guests coming up every Tuesday at 1:30 for a half hour, 1:30 to 2 o'clock every Tuesday for our show called Adventures in Recovery. Every day is a new discovery in recovery here on Vashon. Your host, once again, Tom Walston, bidding you a wonderful Tuesday. The sun's going to be out, looks like, for the rest of the day for us. And once again, Thanks for tuning in. And if you ever want to have more information on some of our past shows, just do the Voice of Vashon app on your phone, and you can take a look under the tab of archived shows and re-listen to or pass on any show that we've done in the past of all the shows here that Voice of Vashon offers. Once again, thanks again. Make it a great day.